Good morning. John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll begin our reading with verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. Let's just look to the Word again in prayer. Our Father, we just pray now thy blessing upon thy Word. We ask that the Holy Spirit would speak through it, and especially hard hearts that perhaps are callous to sin, and callous to the holiness of God, and souls that are going on unheeding, on their way to a lost eternity, would be awakened this morning. We pray, Father, indeed, that conviction would come upon anyone here who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ. They would see their sins, see their blindness, and realize the need to repent and believe it, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. We pray for help now, in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've considered the last few weeks a variety of people from the Gospel of John. You almost have people from every strata of society. For you remember a few weeks back, a lot of you weren't here. We have some visitors and such. But I'll just kind of recap. The first Sunday morning I was here, we thought about Nicodemus, a man who was a very upstanding member of society, a man who was a very respected theologian and undoubtedly very well educated and had a good deal of clout in the community, someone that people looked up to and respected. And yet this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ by night and found out that he needed to come to the Lord Jesus, not in his own righteousness, not based on his works, not based on his pedigree, if you will, or his resume of all the lovely things he had done in his life, as good as they may have been. He found out from the Lord Jesus that he had to be born again, that he had to start all over again, not in anything he did, but being born again by God's Spirit through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing we can do, you see, to merit salvation. Nothing we can do to renovate the old man and make ourselves somehow better. God actually has to come in and give us new life. And then the following week after that, we thought about a different woman in John chapter 4. She was about as much the opposite of Nicodemus as anyone you could imagine. A woman who was not a Jew, with an excellent religious track record, a woman who was a Samaritan, a people despised by the Jews. A woman who, even within her own community, had lived a very checkered lifestyle. Her moral background was very poor. She had been a notorious sinner in her community. And yet she too met the Lord Jesus Christ, and she found out that there's no sinner so bad that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't want to and isn't able to save them. You see, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me. He doesn't place down conditions on who comes unto him. He says, the word says, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the kind of Savior he is. Even as that woman learned in John 4, he's the Savior of the world. And then last Sunday, we thought about a man, a poor, lame man lying by a pool in Bethesda for 38 years. A man held there and bound by physical infirmity, couldn't get up and move around, couldn't do for himself, a man vainly hoping that somehow, someday, maybe this pool would cure him. And yet he found out that the secret of healing is not the pool. The secret of healing is not man's religion. The secret of healing is not what we can do. The secret of healing is coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He healed that man and made that man his own. And now we come to a very different individual here in John chapter 9. We come to a man, as verse 1 tells us, a man who was born blind from his birth. A man, think about it, who had always been blind. Now, as a person blessed with sight, as most of us here this morning are, certainly it probably crossed their minds, what would it be like to be a blind person, particularly to be blind from birth? And you think about it, what would it be like to never know, for example, the color of the ocean here in the Caribbean? I mean, I've just been enjoying driving along Bay Street and looking out there at the ocean, and it's so beautiful. And looking at the sunshine, and seeing the blue sky, and looking at a flower, and looking at your mother's face, or your father's face. And yet there are people, even in this community that I've met, that have never done that. People that have been blind from birth. And those of us who've been blessed with sight from birth, we think, man, well, it'd be a pitiable condition to be blind from birth. Well, perhaps so, but we're going to find out in this text there are worse things than that. Nevertheless, I like how it words it here in John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Yeah, I like that. It doesn't emphasize, first of all, as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man. No. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. And what that tells me is that God is the God of the individual. You see, the Lord Jesus passed a lot of people. No doubt passed crowds of people. And yet here he passes by and he sees a man. And the Lord Jesus would pass through our midst this morning in this congregation, and he doesn't just see a blank sea of faces. He doesn't just see a generic group of people in the Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel. No, he looks and he sees a man. He sees a woman. He sees you as an individual. He's the God who created you. He's the one who knows all about you. He's your maker, the one who formed your eyes and the one who gave you sight or withheld sight, as it pleases him. He's the one who looks, and first of all, he sees a man. He recognizes us as individuals. You think, you know, there's a lot of people in the world. Over 6.5 billion people out there. That's a staggering number. And, you know, I think about the people I've met in my life, and I get around somewhat, so I've met quite a few people, and for me, it's impossible to know everyone I meet intimately. It's impossible for me to remember all their names, let alone to know everything about them. And yet God knows everything about all of the people living on the earth and all of the people who have ever lived. And he cares for each one individually. He loves each one and he holds out his offer of salvation to every person. The Lord Jesus looked and he saw a man. Now this man, as we see, was blind from his birth. He had a disability, a very serious disability. A disability which in that day and culture would have put great constraints on his life. It would have hindered him from doing a lot of things he would want to do. Now you say, well, to be blind from birth in any era can't be easy. You have to learn to do things differently. And that, of course, is so. But remember, this man is living thousands of years before the invention of Braille. And thousands of years before ever some of these agencies came into being that exist to help blind people adapt to life. And I don't know in the ancient world if they had any such thing as a seeing eye dog. But certainly, he didn't have the things available to him, even that some blind people have available to them today. So what was his life like? Well, look at verse 8 a moment. The neighbors, later on the neighbors are going to get involved here, and it says, they see him that was born blind and said, is this not he that sat and begged? Now let me tell you, maybe you've been to a job interview, maybe you've been to several. You go in for a job interview and someone asks you, well, what are your skills? What can you do? And you list, well, I can do this or that, I can hammer a nail, or I'm good at computers, or whatever you happen to be good at, and they see if your skills match your job. Now imagine the man, born blind, going in for a job interview. What can you do? Well, you can't see. So that rules out most every occupation we have at this time. And this poor man, all that he was left doing at that time was being able to sit and to beg. That's a very humiliating thing. To rely on the charity of others. To rely on other people given to you. To not be able to go out and support yourself. The Lord gives work in some sense as an ennobling thing. He gives work to man as something meaningful that he can do in his life. And yet here's a man, due to his disability, due to the problems he has faced in life, he can't go out like ordinary people and work. He's reduced to sitting and begging. You know, if we're really honest, every one of us in this room is just like that. You say, what are you talking about? I have one of the best jobs in the Bahamas. You know, I do such and such. You might have a good job, might have a good career. I'm not going to question that. But spiritually speaking, I'm talking about this morning. You see, anything we get spiritually must come from God. It cannot be generated by ourselves. It cannot come from ourselves. Because before God, we're all spiritual beggars. We have nothing to offer Him. Nothing that the holy, righteous God who cannot tolerate sin can accept. Because everything we do is tainted by sin. Now you notice very soon the sin question comes up here in this passage. Look at verse 2. His disciples asked him, "Master or teacher, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And you know, some people think that way. They look at an adverse situation, they look at problems in life, and they automatically attribute it to some personal sin that that individual has done. And some people think of God like that, like He's just waiting, you know, till we do something, some specific sin, and then He's going to zap us with some sort of problem. So the Lord Jesus is to tell them, you know, it's not for any sin this man did personally. I mean, here he was. He didn't live before he was born. He was born and born blind. So it wasn't anything he did. It happened from the very inception of his life. And it wasn't anything that his parents did either, the Lord Jesus says. Look at what he says here in verse 3. He says, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In other words, he says, you know why this man is blind? You know why he has this problem in life? It's not because he did something specific that God slapped him with blindness. It's not that his parents committed some heinous sin, and so they said, "We're going to give you a blind baby." Oh, absolutely not. He says, no, this child was allowed to be born blind, that God's glory may be manifest in him. You see, this man was born with a great disadvantage. On anybody's scale of values, it has to be a hardship to be born blind. And yet the Lord says, you know, this man's going to have a great privilege. He's going to be able, through this disability and problem, to be an example of God's glory working. This passage is all about God taking a disadvantage and turning it into an advantage. Of God coming in where sin has wrecked, and sin has caused problems, and sin has made seemingly insurmountable mountains in our lives. And God making a way out. God making a way through, as it were. Now, sin was involved here. It wasn't some sin this man had done. It wasn't some sin his parents had done. But it was, as all sickness and disease in this world originally comes from, it was because, as Romans 5 will put it, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, a long time ago, centuries and centuries ago, millennia ago, our first parents, Adam and Eve, lived in a perfect place. A place where they didn't need doctor's hospital. They didn't need doctors. They didn't need nurses. They didn't need pharmacies where you go and get your medicine, because there was no sickness. It was before the fall, you see, before sin was in the world. And Adam and Eve existed in a state where they didn't have these kind of physical problems. And yet they sinned, and sin came into the world, and wherever it comes, it brings corruption, and it brings death. That's all sin inevitably leads to. We tend to think of sin differently. We tend to think of it in some cases as a pleasurable thing. And I'm sure you can think right now of certain sins you can do that bring you pleasure for a time at least. Well, that's true. But the presence of sin in the world has brought so much hardship and so much pain and so much difficulty in the lives of people. And it was so with this man. This man was born into the world blind, not because that was God's ideal for the human race. No, he was born blind because he happened to be born in a world corrupted and tainted and afflicted with sin. But yet God says, you know, I am greater than that. This man was allowed to be born blind, says the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God. Why? Because on this particular day, as the Lord Jesus passed by and saw this man, I'm sure a lot of other people passed by and saw him, and said, isn't that a shame? There's a poor blind man reduced to sitting and begging. Wouldn't it be wonderful that someday we could have people that could restore sight to the blind, but no one could do anything? Well, one day the Lord Jesus stopped. He saw this man, and he came up to him, and he spit on the ground. and he picked up some of the dirt on the ground. Now, let me tell you, the most common things you have in the world are saliva and dirt. I mean, that's always with you, right? Everywhere you go, you've got saliva. That your body generates that naturally. And everywhere you go, you've got dirt. I mean, even in here in the city, with a lot of concrete about and a lot of cement here and there, still, you don't have to go very far, do you, to find dirt? I mean, there it is. The ground that we walk on. The most common elements. Now, you know, there were a lot of people walking around, and any one of them could have come and taken those two things, dirt and saliva, and mixed them, and it wouldn't have done anything to help with them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, the one who has all power in heaven and earth, he took this earth, and he mixed it with his saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes, and told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, a pool that had no special magical powers, a pool that had no mineral capability to heal, a pool that was like any other, just a pool of water. And he told this man to go and wash, and the man went and washed and saw. Cured from his congenital blindness. Cured from the malady that had afflicted him since birth. Because it wasn't the dirt that healed him, and it wasn't the saliva that healed him, and it wasn't the pool that healed him. It was the word of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that healed him. And if we are to be healed spiritually this morning, it will be the same thing, the word of God, that is the source of our cure. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's going to be the secret, to listen to what God says. Now, as you might imagine, this creates a great sensation. Here's a man blind from birth, a man that his neighbors and people in the community had watched for years, sitting and begging, no doubt the object of many people's pity. Oh, look at that poor man. And yet now they see the man walking about and living a normal life and seeing, and you can imagine that man, for the very first time he's walking around saying, so that's what green is, so that's what blue is, so that's what red is, so this is what my parents look like, so that's what a baby looks like. Tremendous. Looking in the mirror, so that's what I look like. He was walking around on cloud nine, I'm sure. And this caused a sensation in the community. Because here was something spectacular, something supernatural, something out of the ordinary. And very soon it attracted the attention of the religious people there, the Pharisees. And they brought the man in and they began to interrogate him. Now, how exactly did you receive your sight? Well, you see, he says, there was a man. And the man came and he stopped and he took some dirt and he mixed it with saliva and he put it on my eyes, made some kind of paste out of it, put it on my eyes, told me to bathe in the pool of Siloam, and I came away seeing. Well, they say, this can't be, you know. All of our medical scientists are confounded by this cure. We've never heard of such a thing. So they call the man's parents. And they say, is this your son? Now, can you imagine that? Now, I want to tell you honestly, there have been times when the people sitting in this room, known as my parents, have been tempted to deny that they were my parents. Times when, you know, I was misbehaving, and they said, whose child is this? And reluctantly, they put up their hand. But after all, who should know better who the son is, who the child is, than the parents? I mean, they've been with him all of his life, haven't they? And they said, well, we know this is our son. Well, how did he receive his sight, they asked. Well, we don't know that. No, I think they knew. I think the son had told them. And they had heard the explanation he gave to these religious men. But the Bible tells us that these men had already determined that if anyone should confess the Lord Jesus Christ, they would put him out of the synagogue. Now this shows you who was really blind in this chapter. Because to put someone out of the synagogue meant cutting them off from any way of making a living. If you were out of the synagogue, you couldn't go down to the city market and buy your groceries. No one would sell to you. If you were put out of the synagogue, you couldn't go out and get a job. No one would hire you. If you were put out of the synagogue, you couldn't go to any of your family reunions on Manawar Key or Spanish Wells or wherever you hail from. They wouldn't accept you because you were ostracized. You were persona non grata. You were cast out, rejected by everyone. And imagine this. They throw you out of the synagogue, not for some sin that you had done, not for any kind of rebellion, just for believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They cut you off. In other words, here is a group of people that claim to be religious, but they say, you know, we refuse to accept any truth about the Lord Jesus. We don't care what he does, how he helps people. If somebody aligns themselves with him, we're going to throw him under the synagogue. So the parents are naturally afraid. And they bring this man before themselves, this man who had been born blind who now sees, and they begin to ask him. And the man gets bolder and bolder as it goes along. It's incredible to read. Let's just peek in here. Okay, verse 26, it says, they said unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? And I love this. He begins sort of twisting the knife at him. Now what is this? You keep asking me about this man. I told you the story once. Weren't you listening? Why are you so concerned about how he healed me? Do you want to follow him also? Ooh, you can imagine that really enraged them. Look at verse 28. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not where he is from. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not where he's from, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Imagine this. Here's a man born blind. Here's a man never been to Bible school or theological seminary or university of any kind. Here's a man that they rejected. He's educating. He's lecturing the most religious people of the time, saying, now listen, if this man wasn't from God, God wouldn't let him do what he's doing. This blind man himself, formerly blind man, didn't understand yet fully who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He was going to learn. But even now, we can see the fallacy of this. If the Lord Jesus wasn't from God, he couldn't do this kind of miracle. No one has ever been able to give sight from the blind. You say you're Moses' disciple? Moses never did this. But the Lord Jesus, he gave me back my sight. Now they answer in verse 34, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us, and they cast him out. Now they were right. The man was a sinner. The man, as David would say in Psalm 51:5, was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and so were all of us. And that's where they erred, you see. This man was a sinner. Oh, that's true. All of sin we can show to the glory of God. But where their blindness lay was that they didn't see. They were sinners too. That they were altogether born in sin also. And that they had lived lives of sin and rebellion. 1 John 4 will tell us sin is lawlessness. It is acting against God in rebellion. It is missing the mark of his standard. It is any transgression from the will of God, from what God wants. It is taking a breath, accepting the gift of our breath in independence of God. It is getting up and saying, it's my life, and I'll do what I want. It is acting and making decisions based on what we want and not what God wants. Oh, we're all thoroughly afflicted by this, aren't we? We're all tainted by this tremendous adversity, this tremendous problem in our lives. We're all burdened with sin. Well, they threw this man out. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? This man didn't have perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He knew the Lord Jesus was a prophet. He knew the Lord Jesus was a good man. He knew the Lord Jesus was from God and had power. But he didn't fully understand about him. But you know, he was living up to the light God had already given him. God showed him some things about the Lord Jesus in his healing, and he grasped onto them and said, very good, Lord, I believe you, I trust you. And then the Lord gave him more light. He didn't fully understand all about the Lord Jesus. What he understood, he believed, and the Lord Jesus came and gave him more. He says to him in verse 37, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with him. Imagine saying that to him, thou hast seen him. The very first person probably, or among the first certainly, that this man saw after he regained his sight, was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous thing. When a spiritually blind sinner, when one who doesn't think there's anything wrong with himself and naturally thinks they're okay, that's sort of our natural feeling, isn't it? We don't like to walk around feeling bad about ourselves, and we tend to compare ourselves. Well, I'm not like some of those fellows over there on death row. I mean, they're really the bad folks. I'm not too bad. Sure, I've messed up, but I'm not so bad. Oh, the Lord says, no. We're corrupted by sin. We're hopelessly lost. We're spiritually blind. If any man see the kingdom, the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, he must be born again. The Lord Jesus says here, you're seeing me. You're talking with me. I'm the Son of God. And the man believed on him. That's a tremendous thing. He worships him in verse 38. And when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus and says, you know, I was blind. I didn't know I was a sinner. But when I met you, Lord Jesus, you showed me my sin. You showed me my lost condition. And you showed your ability to heal. How can he heal? How can the Lord Jesus Christ heal us from our sin? Well, that's just this. He went to the cross of Calvary and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The righteous one was made sin for us. And God judged him therefore. And now he's able, because he has risen again in new life, he's able to offer that same new life to whomever will say, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, save me, the sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm turning around from my wayward life of blindness and my lost condition. Lord Jesus, save me and take me. And he says he'll give us spiritual sight. And he'll say, what a wonderful Savior he is. Now he's not done with these other blind men in the chapter, these spiritual blind men in verse 39. For judgment, he says, I am come into this world, that they which see, or rather that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. Now this sounds rather strange. I mean, verse 39, he says, for judgment I am come into the world. And yet back in John 3, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he says, I'm not come into the world to condemn the world, or to judge the world, in other words, but that the world might be saved. Well, that's just it, you see. The Lord Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He could have done that. He could have come in judgment and taken every living being, every person, and cast us all into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve, listen. He didn't do that. He came into the world to die and give his life a ransom for many. He came into the world himself to be judged in our place for our sins. And yet he also came for the purpose of separating men, of dividing them into classes. There's two types of people in the world. It's not black and white. It's not Hispanic or Oriental. It's not Bahamian and the rest of the world. It's not rich and poor. It's not educated and uneducated. The two classes of people in the world are lost and saved. Those who stand with Christ and know his salvation, those who've been given spiritual eyesight by him, and those who are still spiritually blind. Those are the only two types of people in the world. Well, how can that distinction be made? How can that judgment be made? Well, it's just this. The Lord Jesus came into the world, and men beheld him. And some people said about him, we're all right, we don't need you, thank you very much. And there are people today filling churches, and filling synagogues, and filling mosques, and filling Buddhist temples, and all manner of other buildings, people meeting together today, and in their religion they're saying to God, we don't need you, thank you very much. Some that even name the name of Jesus Christ. They meet together, and they say, we can do it ourselves. We're glad Christ led a good life, but we'll work our way. We'll keep the Ten Commandments, or we'll do this or that. We'll be baptized. Whatever they say, we can work our way to God. The Lord Jesus says, oh no, I'm coming to the world for judgment. That those who don't see might see. In other words, those who are spiritually blind and know it, come to the Savior and say, Lord Jesus, give me sight. Lord Jesus, heal me. Lord Jesus, save me, the sinner. Lord Jesus says, that's the kind of people I've come into this world to help. Well, what about the people who obstinately, stubbornly refuse to acknowledge their blindness, to admit they have a problem? What about the people who deep down inside know they're sinners, but they don't want to give up the reins of their life? They don't want to give up control. Well, the Lord Jesus said, those people who think they see, I'm going to make them blind. In other words, I'm going to confirm them in just what they want. If you won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and maybe today's your final opportunity, if you won't come to Him and ask for healing and ask for spiritual sight, the Lord Jesus might just say to you, very well, I'll give you what you want. You don't want me. You don't want my salvation. You don't want a place in my heaven. Well, I'll leave you to your sin. I'll leave you to your lost, hopeless life. And when you pass out into this life and you stand before God, you're going to be naked before Him. He's not going to be fooled by any religious veneer, any sham religion, any playing at church. He will see you as you are. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. The one who created you, the one who is the God of the individual and knows everything about you, will say, I never had any personal relationship with you. I don't recognize you. Get out of my sight. Preach Him. That's a solemn thing. All these religious people say, are we blind also? The Lord Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. In other words, well, it wouldn't be your fault. If you were blind and you admitted that, well, that's your condition as a blind person, as a sinner, as one who's held in bondage. Then you'd be in a position to receive my help. Then you'd be in a position to receive my salvation. But He says, but now ye say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. In other words, they said, thank you very much, Jesus. We have our own sight. We know what we need in our lives. We know what we are. We think we're pretty good. Therefore, we don't need you, Lord Jesus. He says, no, you're the ones who are actually blind. You know, these weren't the last spiritually blind people that the Lord Jesus would encounter in the Gospel of John. One day, when men took Him out and put Him through a series of sham, fake kangaroo courts, they brought Him before a man called Pontius Pilate, the governor of that province of Judea. A man who was supposed to represent the law. A man who was supposed to arrive at the truth and make rulings in a court of law. And one day this man met the one they called the King of the Jews, and he said, are you a king? He says, you say I'm a king. For this cause was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And this man who thought he could see, this man who thought he was a judge, this man who thought he could discern truth from error and right from wrong and what was against the law or for the law, this man cynically asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what is truth? And he missed his opportunity to speak. He missed his opportunity to be healed. He missed his opportunity to have spiritual new life given to him. I'm afraid there may be some here who will do the same thing. The Lord Jesus Christ will come and present Himself to them, present His death, present His cross work, how He died on the cross for our sins, and rose again that we might be saved. And they'll say, thank you very much. I can see some merit in it. I can see some good in it. But that's not for me. I'll go away. And my friend, if you do that and reject the Lord Jesus, you'll be spiritually blind, spiritually sick, spiritually lost for all eternity. It's a very solemn thing. Come to the Savior today. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. We thank Thee that He can do greater things than just heal eyes, physical eyes. He can heal the eyes of our understanding and make us see spiritual reality, that we're sinners, but that God loves us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We pray, Father, open eyes and hearts this morning, in the Sunday school and here as well, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We pray it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Close by singing in our hymnal 242, please. 242. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of this sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light to shining for thee. Sweetly the light has drawn upon me. Once I was blind, now I can see. Life of the world is Jesus. 242.